T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
H-Town on three. 1, 2, 3. H-Town. Let's go.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Ah, right, your Super Dave. It is on to Cleveland.
Thank you very much.
Ah, yes, Clint is back in the building. We are happy to have our fearless leader back in the building, Clint Sterner. In here, Tyler producing this bad boy.
The champ is here.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
What's up, fellas?
That's
what's
good,
going
that's
on?
Good. No, let's jump into it. Cause
hey, Nicholas got my crib kind of like your Nicholas gets yours there on a daily basis.
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I told you, but I woke up my son yesterday and said, boy, you went off last night, didn't you? Oh, man. Nick Casario. I don't know which Nicholas it was, but we're glad to have you back. But Super Dave Culley, the head coach for the Texans, spoke to the media today, and I did not expect to hear him have these type of words or comments or assessments about some of his players. This is him about his quarterback's play on Sunday.
Well, I'd like to see him be a little bit more consistent and get off to a little faster start. You know, we didn't get off to the start throwing the football that we need for him to get off to. You know, as you know, that very first pass that we throw could have very easily been an interception, could have had a bearing on the ball game. And then, like I said, again, he missed the throw after that. We've got to be right on when we're throwing, especially throwing from the pocket. And he's got to be able to get it out and get it out on time.
Well, I mean, okay, Dave. 14-0 in the first quarter. I mean, I know it was a shaky drive. Then he came right back in the second drive and went. I'm a little surprised that David Culley had these words for Tyrod Taylor.
I'm pleasantly surprised. Look, I'm just glad we ain't getting that old happy to be 1-32, David Culley, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
just happy to be here, you know, just 1-32. I didn't expect to get this David Culley, and I think as we go along here, I think David Culley has – exceeded expectations on several fronts, but I love this right here. I love when a head coach has a relationship with his players and the confidence in that relationship with his players and his connection with the locker room to be critical of those players, you know, to the media. And I learned this a long time ago. When I first got in the media game, somebody told me, they said, Clint, look, if you do your due diligence and you study the tape or the, you know, whatever the situation is, you can be critical. I mean, if you're critical in a way that's honest and real, then whoever you're talking about 9 times out of 10 is not going to be bothered by the truth, right? I mean, there's some people out there that got an ego and there's, you know, they don't want to hear anything, period.
Quincy Carter.
Well, there's a couple of them. Bill O'Brien may be one. Yeah, there's a couple of them out there that don't want to hear the truth. But for the most part, professionals, if you're accurate and you do your due diligence, it's, hey, man, they may not like to hear it, but it's the truth and they're okay with it. That's how I view David Culley and his comments about Tyrod Taylor. One, they got a special bond to where being honest with each other, even if it's made public, is not going to affect their relationship and nobody's going to be sensitive about it. And you know, two, I think he's got the respect of his locker room from a standpoint of being able to talk about play and talk about the game in a real honest fashion with the media and not worry about offending anybody.
Now, if we take a listen to what he actually talked about and said, how accurate was he on his assessment? Like, did you?
Spot on.
Okay.
Spot on, show. You can't, like, you can't open the game with a turnover, obviously, right? You can't
and Griffin almost picked
that
up.
Oh, he should have. I mean, he should have. He read it perfectly. The ball had was didn't have a lot of zip on it. It would have been a, I mean, 9 times out of 10, that's a pick. You can't start the game that way. And if you look at technically, I mean, it's a quick out. You can never be late on a quick out. You just can't. You can't be late on a speed cut out route. You can't be late on any outbreaking route and expect anything good to happen, right? I mean, so you take it and go, okay, well, you can't throw an interception. You can't be late on a speed cut out route. I know it's the first game of the season, but you're a 10-year vet. You know that you're throwing to Brandon Cooks, who was a guy you got great chemistry with, and you proved that as the game went on. Absolutely. He was – not only was he spot on and being critical – but I mean, he was talking about things that could change the game significantly, and so they need those were things that needed.
And just because it didn't happen doesn't mean
right. Like well, the ability he's not just being critical, and just to be critical. The fact of the matter is 9 times out of 10 that's going to bite you, and 9 times out of 10 it's going to hurt the football team's ability to win ball games. And if you watch throughout the game, there were throws like the big throw to Pharaoh Brown. My man touched down Pharaoh Brown, which when I heard I was missing Pharaoh Brown yesterday, it pained me a little bit. Crushed. By the way, I hope y'all did him well. But anyway, that throw was late. That ball should have been hit. I mean, he should have threw that ball, you know, on time in the pocket. Boom, hit Pharaoh Brown over the middle of the football field. He came open. He was open for 10 yards before he caught the football. That ball has to come out from the pocket earlier, right? The ball that he ended up throwing way down the field when Brandon Cooks, not the one on the sideline, but the one where Brandon Cooks came all the way across the field and caught it for almost a 50-yard gain. If you watch, they closed the middle of the field and Brandon Cooks beat his corner immediately on a go route. Now, he didn't expect the ball because Tyrod Taylor was working the other direction, but Tyrod Taylor should have caught that ball, boom, got it in the air early to Brandon Cooks down that sideline for a big play over there. So that ball should have came out on time. And it sounds like, based on David Culley's assessment of his play, that there's several times that the ball should have came out on time from the pocket. And what I love about that is, what's that old saying? Don't ignore in victory what you would – what is it? How does it go?
In victory what you wouldn't in defeat.
There you go.
There you go.
That feels right.
That sounds great. That's the point,
we needed
right?
You today,
I love that about David Culley, right? I mean, it's not, hey, we won, had a good outing. Hell, offense had a real good outing. But the fact of the matter is, you got away with it, and you're not going to win ball games like that. You won yesterday's or you won Sunday's game like that because it was Jacksonville, and they just played right into your hands defensively, offensively. You know that they did some things for 4 quarters and never adjusted that allowed you. And not knocking it. But the fact of the matter is, this week's opponent is going to do things significantly more efficient. They're going to adjust more efficiently. They're going to start better. They're going to bring more pressure. They're going to cover better. And David Culley's simply saying, hey, what we did last Sunday, it was nice to get that W, but it ain't gonna get W's moving forward. So we gotta keep working and getting better. And the quarterback delivering the football accurately on time from the pocket has to improve.
Yeah, Clint Sterner, he's back in the building today. Ron, the show, Tyler producing this. And David Culley spoke to the media today, and it wasn't just, hey, great job, guys. 37 points, Tyrod Taylor had a bid.
Here's your game ball, bub.
Yeah, had a bid for AFC Player of the Week. No, he's coming out saying, nah, he got to improve. And that's not the only person he had it for. Maybe 2 of his best players offensively, he had some comments about. Here's him about Tytus Howard in the offensive line.
Tyus needs to be better. I was happy with the way he played, but he can be better. Just like I said, our whole left side can be much better. We expect a bunch out of that side of the line of scrimmage, and I thought we were just okay there this past week, and expect us to be better.
Okay, all right. Who's on the left side again?
You got Big LT and Tytus, baby.
Right, your 2 best offensive linemen.
Hit me with it.
They rushed for damn near 200 yards, somewhere around that. Threw for almost 300, 37 points, and he said them jokers was just okay. Let me get this straight. Hold on, David. So Tyrod Taylor, the quarterback, Laremy Tunsil, and Tytus Howard. He sort of mentioned Tytus by name. I don't know. I think he meant Tytus. I don't know what name he got.
I think he said Tywus, but either way.
I believe we knew who he was talking about.
Yeah, we can relate.
Thank you very much.
Somebody who has blown a name 6 or 7 times.
For sure.
I get it. But wow. I mean, those guys too, like, I don't know if it's real expectations that he's coming with, but it's something that he's saying, that ain't it. Even our best players upcoming.
I absolutely love it. I mean, this is one of those deals. Hey, if this offends you, then you need to move on, because this is not a, you know, this is, if you're a professional and your coach is, you know, says these things about you in this manner publicly, it should motivate you, right? I mean,
not how it always happens.
I know it's not how it always happens, but ultimately I love the coach that has the ability. Now, this may be his confidence again in his relationship with his players.
That's
in his
what I was
going
to say. There has to be some sort of relationship
established
for him to go after those guys.
I would be willing to bet you that David Culley's relationship with his locker room, in a sense of how he can openly talk about the mistakes they make or the poor play, is probably, I'd bet a large amount of money, it's significantly different than Bill O'Brien's ability to talk about a team's play or a player's play. And Culley's relationship allows that to happen, where Bill O'Brien had no relationship with a lot of these guys, and it would have never worked. What I love about it, big picture, is that Dusty Baker ain't coaching the Texans, baby. David Culley's coaching the Texans, and he has no problem pinpointing mistakes that were made and where improvement needs to be had sooner rather than later, instead of just consistently protecting players to a fault where you damn near look silly doing it. I would have bet, Show, as we've said, I would have bet a large amount of money that we would have gotten a David Culley that was just happy to be there and was going to protect them players, and he was just going to be happy-go-lucky. And here we are with David Culley surprising the hell out of me with real talk about his team.
I think when you said Dusty Baker, and those can work, right? Because I don't think there have been coaches like Dusty or Tony Dungy or guys who didn't just absolutely take out their players like this. And it works the other way. I'm just saying, from David Culley, from what did you say? What did we say? 1 of 32.
Yeah,
the guy who seemed like he entered rooms doing cartwheels and aerials with roses and lilies. Like, I would not have expected that he would be the guy week one after punishing the Jacksonville Jaguars 37-21 to come out and be critical of three of his top guys, the quarterback and two of his best offensive linemen. I'm waiting for tomorrow for him to just come after Brandon Cooks. That just wasn't a good enough route that he ran. 13.
We got to be better.
That got to be better.
You know what?
He blew that. I mean, good. I just didn't expect it. Someone on the text line saying, Culley is playing mind games, trying to show that he expects more from this team. He needs to stop. I don't know. I don't know if it's mind games or what, but he seems to expect more.
100% disagree. And it's it's me totally reading David Culley. I don't think David Culley has the ability. I don't think he has it in him. And that's not a knock. This is a positive. Like, I think he is such a genuine, sincere coach, and that's his style and the way he does things. I don't think he has it in him to play mind games via the media with his best players, and one of them being your quarterback at this point in time in the season. I think he is legitimately just a ball coach. And he has a special relationship with his locker room to where he can, at least after a win. Now, as we've said, things change when you after a loss, and things change after your stack-up losses. You may want to be careful with it. But after a win, I believe that David Culley has the kind of relationship that's going to allow him to talk about his staff and the players in a very critical manner without them growing defensive and really fracturing a relationship, and the things that we've seen happen in the past with Bill O'Brien. I think that's one thing that's real with David Culley, for sure.
I get you. And that's what everyone says. That's what the players have said about him. He's real. And it's come from guys like Mark Ingram, who I think people would also say is real and wouldn't just come up and say BS. All right, big show today. Clint's back in the building after being off yesterday. And the Texans, not only is their coach coming out and being healthy, we think healthy criticisms towards some of his players, he's also potentially going to get a player that I know many of you are excited to see potentially back next week. We'll discuss that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, it is Wednesday, which means, as David Culley said, we are definitely turning towards the Cleveland Browns. And Clint, this is I think this is a positive statement for Lovie Smith and David Culley in that defense. Texan safety Clint Lonnie Johnson Jr. back on the practice field after missing time with a thigh injury. This is up on sportsradio610.com. You can see that Brandon Scott, who was in for you yesterday, posted a video of that showing him out there practicing. We haven't seen him since. He had a really good game, almost two interceptions. He had a pick six against the Cowboys. Haven't seen him since, didn't play week one. But he's practicing today, and this is Wednesday, right? This is the first of the heavy days. This is a really good sign that Lonnie Johnson could be available for the Texans coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, which I think will be big down the stretch for the Texans, man. I think this week, obviously, they're going to get a heavy dose of a two-headed monster, a great running game, an offensive line that loves to be physical. We heard a lot. I heard you guys yesterday talking about Justin Britt and that mentality, which I love, by the way. But that's their five offensive linemen. They want to make you quit, and that's their two backs. That's Stefanski, their head coach. I mean,
they ran all over the Chiefs.
That's everything that they want to do. And so when you're going to get, I know we're talking about a safety, but when you're going to get that kind of that dose of run, look, you're going to depend on your second level and third level of your defense to come down and play physical a good bit of the game. And so I think this is a game where Lonnie Johnson's size, his physicality, could play really, really well in the box. You put him back there with Justin Reed. You got two pretty solid safeties in terms of coming down and supporting the run. So I think that would be a big time plus if he can get back on the field. And Wednesday, like you said, is the big day. That's the heavy workload, or when the heavy workload begins. And so him being out there today is a big plus.
That's a good point, because I was going to say, did you sense they missed him in the Jacksonville game? I didn't. I feel like they played pretty well in the back end, but this is a different type of deal. Well, and this is a deal where in their run game, they're running Nick Chubb. They're running, what is this kid's name?
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt. They're running them at you. Like, the fourth quarter, people don't – I watch Kareem Hunt the fourth quarter, even though I couldn't think of his name just now. But I watched Kareem Hunt for years, and fourth quarter, people didn't like tackling him, and Nick Chubb's the same way. Their running game, this is an all-hands-on-deck type of deal, and Lonnie is, you'd say, their most physical secondary player, and to have him out there is a big key for them. So I think this matchup is much different.
You're a good point. You're spot on, Bob. They're going to need – I mean, this is going to be one of those games where whoever is playing in the second and third level of this defense on Monday – they need a little more time off. That their body's going to be a little bit more sore than it was after week one, simply because week one you can make a case for Darrell Bevell to be removed as the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville after what he did with the run to pass ratio in the first half against the Texans. I mean, the Texans lived in cover two, and he just refused to turn around and give the ball to one of the better backs, more productive backs last year. It's very, very,
that won't happen this week.
No, that's what I'm getting at. It ain't gonna happen this week. You got a team that their identity is establishing a run, and their identity is establishing the run for three quarters, regardless of how productive it is, keeping the game close, and then they're going to put you to sleep in the fourth quarter, like you said. I mean, hell, you can go back to Kareem Hunt's days at, Toledo?
Yeah.
When you can go back to those days where – I remember watching him play at Arkansas State when him and then what the quarterback that's, I believe, in Tennessee right now, the backup in Tennessee – or he was a backup in Tennessee. Anyway, they it was the same thing. I mean, he never came off the field in the fourth quarter. He would punish you. Yeah. I mean, that's just who – and obviously we know who Nick Chubb is from Georgia. I mean, that's just who Cleveland is. You're going to get a different dose. And this week, Lonnie Johnson being healthy is going to – it could, if he is healthy – could end up being a big-time ad in terms of what they're going to have to do. This ain't a game where, like last game, you had your two safeties could float around in coverage on, like it. When always say two on the roof. They can float around on the roof up there if you're looking down from a view above. They can float around the roof up there. That defense just kind of float around, make sure no big plays happen. No, today they're going to have to come downhill, and if they come downhill with reckless abandonment and arrive at the ball violently, it's a 3-yard game. If they're on their heels, it's a 10-yard game. One thing we know Lonnie Johnson does well is throw his head around.
Yeah.
He could be big this week, no doubt. So it's big that he's back on the field for the Texans.
And back today, which means he's on the heavy day today and tomorrow, potentially going forward. So Lonnie Johnson back at practice after missing some time with a thigh injury. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley. The Astros got their asses kicked last night, but really the focal point was Greinke returned yesterday from the IL, and it wasn't good. 5 innings, 5 hits, 7 earned, 8 runs, 4 strikeouts, 3 walks. He struggled, and I think it is fair, and I can see in Tyler's eyes, I think it is fair that there is a level of concern. It's someone who has had some – worry tendencies, as myself would. His last two starts, yesterday, 5 innings, 7 earned, 4 Ks, 3 walks. His time before that, before the IL stint, 4 innings, 6 earned, 1 strikeout, 2 walks. Like, there is a level of concern that I think is fair for Astros fans moving forward. They got 18 to go, and you want to get Greinke right because he's going to be one of your guys. Where are you right now with Zach Greinke?
I've shifted a bit. I said shifted a bit.
I heard you. I heard you.
Well, I mean, look, we, 2-3 months ago, has that been that long? Anyway, earlier in the season, you and I talked about it. And I was like, hey, man, Greinke's my day one guy. He's my game one out of the gate. He's the one I trust the most.
I liked your voice.
I think I've shifted a bit. I've tried to figure out exactly where I sit. And, I mean, obviously, Fromber and Lance are your top two at this point. I would guess.
I think Lance is. I think we're dealing with Dusty, and a veteran, and I think Greinke could still be the guy who pitches game two. Like, he could be your 1-2.
I'll tell you this.
At least going to be one of your three starters.
Yeah. Adam Spolane put out a tweet. A Sports Radio 610. Adam Spolane covers Rockets and the Astros for us, and the Texans, but. He put out a tweet last night that I really liked, and I thought it was worth on this topic. He said, I have Lance McCullers pretty much locked in as the Astros game one starter with Fromber Valdez getting the ball for game two. I'd probably piggyback the remaining four starters for games 3 and 4. Greinke Garcia for game 3, Odorizzi and Urquidy for game 4. And I don't get off in the weeds on the specifics of it, but are we at a spot with Greinke? And I'm asking you, are we at a spot with Greinke where you go into, say, game 3, or hell, I don't care if it's game 2, but you go into those games with a piggy ready to back, if you know what I mean. I mean, you have to, obviously.
In the playoffs, I think you do it with anybody, right? Like, even if Lance starts getting into some real trouble in the first 2 innings, you got to start thinking. But I don't know. See, and it's weird. You know how I get sometimes, allegedly. I can worry a little bit.
Sure.
I'm not really worried about Zach. Like, I think when the postseason comes, Zach's going to give you a quality start.
Really?
I think at least close to it. I think Zach's going to give you 5-6 innings and give you a chance to win. Three runs.
Wow.
I feel that way. I just feel like that's what he's – I think he's different when the moment comes. I think he buckles down and he's different when the moment comes and at least gives you a shot. I think the IL stint's going to help him. give him some rest and,
right.
And not have those extra starts on his arm. I'm not as worried with
that.
I don't
know that I disagree with you from a standpoint of if I had to bet right now, I think he'd give you a quality start in the playoffs. I do. But I damn sure don't feel strong enough that I don't have me a pitcher that can do some piggybacking.
Well, yeah,
ready to ride. Sleep good tonight. Hey, Garcia. You get your ass a good sleep tonight. Leave wifey alone now. Get you some spaghetti or something now.
I'm not saying this is Verlander, Cole, or Charlie Morton something. I'm just saying, like, I think he goes out there. I don't come in there thinking, like, man, he's going to give you. Is he going to get out of two? Is he going to get out of three? Like, I think.
But do you let him do what happened last night? Do you let him get beyond five and risk? I mean, that's where we're at with Greinke, though. Are we at a third time through the lineup concern?
No, I wouldn't say I'm in Jake Odorizzi-ville.
No.
I'm not there with him.
I heard you boys just.
I'm good.
I heard you boys just putting that
karma.
Damn nail in my boy Jake O's coffin yesterday.
You get out there and start talking the way you did, and that's what happens. You run over to first base, and you're done. You're done.
It sucks.
I don't need to see Jake again. Nothing to your family.
Preach.
Or anything, Jake. Thank you.
Nothing to your family.
Hey, one of the most, I think it's fair to say, hated guys, hated sports figures in Houston may have a nightmare possibility coming his way. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, Clint. Bill O'Brien, who has had himself a nice couple of weeks at Alabama as their new offensive coordinator and seems to be right in line with all the other offensive coordinators who've been under Nick Saban to get head coaching jobs. And one huge job has come open, and that is Clay Helton was fired at USC earlier this week, Clint. And one of the names that's being rumored is former Houston Texan head coach Bill, a.k.a. Billy O'Brien, is potentially rumored as a possibility there at USC. You like that fit?
Hell no. Bill O'Brien to USC is a nightmare. And that is an absolute nightmare possibility.
For who?
For USC. For the 100 kids that are in that program.
There could be some transfers going.
I mean, look, there is no way in hell.
You don't think that could work?
No, I do not. There is no way in hell that Tiger has changed his stripes.
Not that fast.
He ain't changed his stripes. I mean, look, he is a – is dictator too strong?
No, if you follow what we've seen here, he certainly is involved. And wants to be involved in every piece.
He's not a good enough offense. Like, I think in this game, today's game, in college football, I do think there are some situations, some scenarios where that type of personality that has to be the only voice in the room and the only voice in the building, he's the architect and the contractor, if you will, of every project that he does. There are some formulas – in 2021 where that still works. Like, I think Bobby Petrino is a lot like Bill O'Brien in a sense of he's the architect and the contractor. Like, he's got to be the biggest voice, and he'll stomp his feet until everybody else and run everybody else off and surround himself with people that won't even challenge him. Like, he's got to be the dude, right? And that works for Bobby, because if you come play for Bobby, you're going to throw for 18,000 yards a season and 52 touchdowns. And if you're a receiver, you're going to have 58 catches and 5 touchdowns plus, and you're going to put up yards and garner attention that way. I think it works for some guys, but when I look at Bill O'Brien, I see a guy that's never going to change his stripes. He is going to be
never. You don't think even, because what you just said, dictator, almost person has to have his hands in everything. Many people would think that's Saban, but that's not Saban. Like, Saban, he knows everything that's going on, but, like, you can see he obviously allows input from his offensive coaches.
Yeah, like, but Saban, like,
but I'm just saying, if you're right underneath him, yeah, you learn some things.
Well, I think Saban is at it. Saban, look, I've heard, like, Saban's recruited a few kids that I've trained, and I wasn't in the room, but I've heard, like, his recruiting pitches are to walk in the room and sit around the table with mom and dad, and before he says everything, anything, throw SEC championship and national championship rings on the table. Like, pull out bags of gold and rings and rubies and, you know, and open them up and go, you want to win these? Or do you want to go somewhere and play for a bowl game? What do you want to do? Like, he's got a different – like, you, Nick Saban gets away with things at this point in his career because he's had so much success where you can't argue with it. In my, but you're right. I agree with you that he does delegate and
he
let his
delegate,
guys.
Yeah,
he and he's becoming,
in a way that Bill hasn't.
But with, yeah, exactly. And he has shown the ability to evolve offensively over time because it's what you have to do to survive and what you have to do to continue to recruit the best quarterbacks and the best receivers and to have the ability to score more points than anybody in the country and keep up with offenses in today's game. He's shown the ability. Yeah, he's a hard ass, but his ego's checked at the door when you're talking about the game of football because he has no problem changing how he does things to stay on top. Like, I think Bill O'Brien, we watched Bill O'Brien just be absolutely against changing the way he was doing things, even though you could see the writing on the wall of how difficult it was to win ball games and to score points and to play quality offensive football. Like, it was so obvious, but he was still going to stick to his guns and force, like, just for instance, this is just one example, but force Deshaun Watson to execute his offense instead of molding his offense around Deshaun Watson's strengths, right? That was a fight. That was a big-time struggle. And if you don't change when you got a squad that's a playoff team that's winning divisions, and if your shortcoming is still that kind of deal, I just don't believe that he's going to change his stripes. So when I hear Bill O'Brien as a possible head coach candidate at USC, I feel for the USC program. Like, whoever's making that decision, I think it is he is 100%
not
a square peg round hole guy and
not,
a dictator. I think it's miserable.
Not yet. I don't think this would be too quick to expect change.
Agreed. Two, three years down the road, maybe.
But I do think, see, you said you don't think Bill's ever going to change. And I think there's a possibility there. Like, if he sits there, he can't help but to look, wow, Nick Saban hired a guy like me. Like, think about it. Nick Saban hired two guys that were far more successful in the NFL than Nick ever was.
Right, yeah.
Like, to be an offensive line coach, I mean, he hired a guy who went to the AFC Championship game to be his offensive line coach,
mm-hmm.
and then hired Bill O'Brien, who has been, as much as you all don't want to hear it, a successful NFL head coach who's been to the playoffs multiple times, did things that Nick Saban wasn't able to do. He brought those, and those are strong personalities,
mm-hmm.
guys that will go up head-to-head with Jalen Ramsey for some reason. And Bill O'Brien, who will go head-to-head with J.J. He brought
DeAndre Hopkins
and J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt and these guys, yeah.
He brought them onto those personalities onto his staff and still made it work. Had Lane Kiffin, who's got a hell of a personality ahead of him, has had a lot. Like, if you don't learn from that, because to me, for Bill to be at his best, wherever he goes, the thought would be is go look at Saban. You're right underneath him. Bill would be so much better if he hired coordinators and let them. Because Bill to me is an alpha leader. Like, he's got the head coaching stuff down. It's just when he's just spread thin and doing everything, the coordinator, all this coming. Like, if he would just be a head coach and then let guys run his offense the way that I think Saban does, I think that's where he has his chance to be most successful if he can learn that. I don't think he's learned that now, being there for 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Maybe in 2 or 3 years, and I think the blessing in disguise with what's going on in Alabama for Bill O'Brien is, I mean, he's gone in there and had to learn somebody else's offense, right? And so if he calls that offense for a year or for 2 years – he is calling somebody else's offense. Watch the tape. It's 180 different from what you had here. If he'd have been doing that with Deshaun here, he'd still be here. But there is, watch what they're doing, and the blessing in disguise for him may be that if he does that for a couple of years, he goes, damn, there is a different way than Tom Brady, New England style of offensive football. And if he personally has success for a year or two at Alabama doing that, then maybe that tiger changes his stripes a little bit and can move on and take a head job. But like you said, 15 minutes under Saban, I know Saban's good, but I can't give Saban that much credit to change Bill O'Brien's stubborn ass in a matter of 15 minutes.
There's a lot that goes into being a college football head coach that a lot of NFL-type guys don't want to deal with. Do you think Bill, let's say he's there a couple years, is he better suited for the NFL or better suited for college, in your opinion?
Well, you're asking me right now, I think the game has passed his personality. You know what I mean? Like, Bill's got to change, and I don't care because
either way.
If you can't get along with DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson here in the NFL you're pretty damn close to being a consistent playoff football team, and I'm not talking about just getting there. I'm talking about you're pretty damn close to being a team that you get there and people don't want to play you. If you can't get along with guys at that point, and I'm talking about whether it's guys in the front office or guys on your coaching staff or players, if you can't get along with those guys, like if you can't find it in you to go, hey, man, winning is more important than me being right and me being the only voice in the building and me forcing Deshaun to do these things in my – like if you can't do those things, I just don't know how you coach in today's game because really the college football has bled so much into the NFL with right now. I saw a list of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL the other day. It's wild how many of them are 24, 25, 26 years old. I mean, it's nuts, right? So, I mean, college football has bled so far into the NFL right now that if you can't relate to players, if you can't mold your offense to players, if you can't, like, understand you got to go the extra mile and you got to be the one that changes and year to year – to be relevant and stay on top in college football, if I were a betting man, which I am, I would bet against Bill O'Brien being a successful head coach at either level forward.
To me, I would lean towards the NFL because college, we saw what happens when Bill has a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
And then in college, you start mixing in, especially at a place like USC, you got to recruit. You gotta talk to boosters. You gotta be the CEO, salesman, all this stuff, and football. And do it. I could see the rotation of every 3 and 4 years, you get different people, and now your message isn't. Yeah. I could see that being a positive for him. But all the stuff that goes into be the head coach at USC, that's probably similar to being the GM. Yeah. The head coach, the offensive coordinator, and that didn't fare well for him.
It's just hard to exist at either level without the pelts on the wall. You know, it's easy to be Bill Parcells because you got a Super Bowl ring. It's easy to be Bill Belichick and do things a little bit different because you got a bunch of Super Bowl rings. It's easy to be a certain whatever your style of coaching is. It's easy to be that dude when you got pelts on the wall. It is hard as hell to go into USC and be the hard ass that you are with no, like, think about it. Bill O'Brien had zero interest in connecting here when he was with the Texans.
None.
You can't do that in college.
No.
You got to connect with the fan base. You got to connect with the players boosters. Consistently. You got to connect with the players that you don't think you got a puncher's chance at landing in recruiting. You got to somehow relate to them. I just don't know. And like you said, you got to have the ego hung at the door have the ability to hire a staff around you that ultimately is really good at whatever you're not at your weaknesses.
You got to connect with kids that suck because they even suck because they could go to a high school that has a future kid that you may need, that you still have to have a good relationship with their coach. So, yeah, that's the part. It just seems like a lot on the plate. But the USC job, that's going to be a big thing in both college areas and the NFL. We already heard Adam Schefter talk about Eric Bieniemy as potential candidate for USC. But if USC had done what they should have done and fired Clay Helton last year, the guy who probably would be the front runner and maybe the coach probably would have been Urban Meyer. Well, Urban Meyer's name has still been floated out there. He addressed it today and made it very clear where he stands, at least right now.
Fortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it. So.
Yeah, there's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
Okay.
I went Vince McMahon, no chance.
Okay.
Well, here's the deal, Urban. I don't know if you are or you aren't, but you lack the energy to build an organization right now. We ain't played but one game. I mean, he looks like hell. I mean, he sounds like hell. He's already defeated.
He did. He looked that way in the first quarter.
Right. For sure. Yeah. Isn't that strange, man? Like, you, how do you? And look, maybe it'll work for him. I don't know. But again, if I'm an employee or if I'm a player, I mean, in a game, for crying out loud, and that's the way my head coach addresses the room after week one, man, damn, it's gonna be tough to generate some energy and some efforts and some sense of urgency around that building, I would imagine.
I don't think
he's long for the NFL?
Well, I don't think he's long for the NFL, but I don't think he's gonna dip and take the USC job. I don't know. Could he say this year? Could they have conversations and just play it out this year?
And then, no. I think a lot of it depends on what the Jags do in the next 4 to 5 weeks. I think he could pull a Saban very easily.
I would see, what does that put him through the season? I don't know. It's a lot of recruiting that you miss. Even though if you're USC, like, you got to quit making knee jerk reaction decisions. Like, you this one's got to be right. I mean, if the USC program continues to fizzle for another three or four years because you didn't hire the right guy, I think that's the fear. Not if you had to wait a season to hire Urban. Like, if Urban Meyer's really interested, but he doesn't want to bail Jacksonville in the middle of the season, do you go, okay, let it all play out, and then as soon as he loses his last game at Jacksonville, he bounces to SC?
Yeah, and you would have already had your feelers and talked about it and some sort of connection to know that he's interested, right, and that he would.
Well, you lose one recruiting class, that's for damn sure. But, you know, you don't lose three or four if you hire the wrong guy. I don't know, Show. I don't know who. To me, you know, I really like Matt Campbell from Iowa State.
Yeah, he's the guy. You're talking about college football coaches, guys that are at a place where you know is not a destination job.
Correct.
That's really good. Like, he's got a Dan Mullen type of feel where you're like, he's at Mississippi State, but is that really the end for Dan? Is there a place where he'd go higher? Yeah, he would be somebody that I'm going after, because you do what he's doing in Ames. Like, yeah, that's a hard place to recruit to.
You know who I like that's being rumored? I think you mentioned it a while ago, Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
And the only
reason – you
think
that will work?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's from the area. He's passionate as hell.
Well, he's from the area, which I think makes it work for him. SC is one of those programs that if you're a coach – I mean, you would, if you're just a coach that doesn't, like, if he has ties to Colorado, obviously not college, he's not going to Colorado to coach. But if he had ties that, like, if he went to Michigan and had, he maybe waiting for that Michigan job, or if he had, if he went to whatever, you know, one of the big top
you
five.
You're talking about if
he was alumni, then I could, but like, he didn't have that. Colorado's not, that's not going to pull him away from the NFL. I think SC is a school, especially if you're from that area, is a school that, as a coach, boy, you'd like to put that on your chest and see if you can make it move. And he's an offensive-minded coach, which I think in college football, particularly in the Pac-12, and the offensive-minded coaches play. I mean, that just plays. You got to score points in today's game. And I don't know. I don't know if he's interested in leaving the NFL.
Yeah, I know for a fact that at least a couple of years ago, his dream was to be a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
But I don't know where he is now. Maybe his mind has changed. Maybe his thoughts have changed. But you could see how that – I don't think he'd have a problem recruiting.
No.
I don't think he'd have a problem putting a good staff together. I mean, he's still connected. Yeah, so I think it could work there if that's what he wants.
And I think his personality plays at SC too. Don't you? I mean, I think that personality plays at SC as well. I don't think it plays everywhere in college, but I think it plays it at SC.
All right. Big news for the Texans. If anybody believes that the Texans have a chance to win at Cleveland, they're 12.5-point underdogs. They did get some news today that helps that case. We'll discuss that and tell you what that is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.